When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. Just imagine that. They were all together in one place. We haven't been able to do that since mid-March, and our separation is wretched. Human beings, you see, are social by nature. We crave the company of others. We crave the fellowship of others. Indeed, we crave such communion at all times, but particularly when we are elated or in distress, when we are afraid or in love, when we are burdened with grief or filled with joy. When 50 days had passed since the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, the disciples were all together in one place. That is a blessing I hope none of us will ever again take for granted. But where exactly was that place in which they were all gathered? Holy Scripture does not name the place explicitly, but the clues tell us that most likely they were together in the upper room, the same room which on Maundy Thursday evening became the supper room, the room in which the Passover of Israel became the Eucharist of the church. It was in that same room that the risen Lord appeared to the apostles on the evening of Easter Sunday, as we just heard in the gospel. And in chapter 1 of Acts, we read that the apostles returned to that upper room after the ascension of the Lord Jesus. Now, given how often this same room was used by the Savior and the 12, we might well wonder who was paying the rent. Well, we don't know for certain, but there is one intriguing possibility. St. Luke tells us in his gospel, upon the entrance of the Lord to Jerusalem in Holy Week, of an unnamed man who was expecting the Lord Jesus to celebrate his final Passover meal in an upper room of his own home. And then Luke writes in chapter 12 of Acts that after St. Peter escaped from jail in Jerusalem, he went to the home of John Mark's mother, Mark the evangelist, leading some ancient authorities to conclude that the upper room was in the family home of Mark, cousin of Barnabas. But whoever owned that house, it was in the same upper room that the young church was forged by fire and revealed to the world by the gifts of the Holy Spirit, who was breathed forth by the Father and the Son to bring the life of the new creation to the human race. The Father utters one word, and the Spirit is the breath by which that word is eternally spoken. As the Spirit or breath of God moved upon the waters at the dawn of creation to bring forth life, so the Spirit was given on Easter Sunday for the forgiveness of sins, and 50 days later, the same Spirit was breathed out in fire, a fire like that which revealed the holiness of God to Israel on Mount Sinai. The same Spirit sent on Pentecost, now not to give the law, but to bring forth the abundant life of grace through the forgiveness of sins accomplished by Christ's atoning death and glorious resurrection. And now, 2,000 years later, the church throughout the world continues to proclaim Jesus Christ crucified and risen as the only Savior of the entire human race, Son of Mary and God the Son, Word made flesh and anointed Shepherd King of Israel and of all creation. But as St. Paul taught the Christians at Corinth, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. And so it is by the gift of God the Spirit and to the glory of God the Father that we can say of God the Son, Jesus Christ is Lord. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. The unity of the young church that day was much more than geographical proximity. The disciples would not long remain together in one place, or even in one city, or one nation. But even as they were dispersed, the disciples remained united in one Lord, one faith, one baptism. And that is what St. Paul wanted the Corinthians to understand. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of the one Spirit. My friends, even though we have been dispersed and separated from each other for the past 11 weeks, we have remained united, all together in Christ and in his body, the church, by the power of God the Spirit, who is the soul of the body, the life force, which in love binds together all the members of the church, no matter where they may be. This morning, we are privileged to see how this unity of faith, hope, and love is accomplished by God the Holy Spirit in the sacrament of chrismation, or confirmation, which completes the grace of holy baptism. 16 men and women who have followed a long journey to this moment will now receive the gifts of the Spirit for service in the church and witness to the world. And by God's call and election, they will be joined to the unity of the body spread throughout the world. As we celebrate this solemnity of Pentecost, the church cries out today with fervor, ever ancient and ever new, Lord, send forth your Spirit and renew the face of the earth. And it is only in and by the Holy Spirit that we can proclaim with our words and with our lives, Christos Anesti, Alithos Anesti, Christ is risen, truly he is risen. Alleluia, alleluia.